Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No place to go. Well, I just found out a longtime employee has left the building. So Dan Chagrou, good guy, been a producer here for a long time. I want to wish him luck. Sorry I missed you.
Did you hear his speech? It was so beautiful.
I didn't hear a word of it.
Oh, my
God. It was really sweet.
It's heartwarming.
What's Nick going to do without Dan? Nick DiGilio, I'm talking about.
I don't think he knows.
Yeah, there goes his ride. He drove him every day to work.
I think that he was probably a little more important to him than just a ride.
I know, but gee.
Well, maybe not.
It was funny in his goodbye speech. He thanked God because he has a strong faith. And then he said, and much further down the list, I thank you, Nick.
It was cute. Yeah.
That does seem right.
Yeah.
I think his rankings are accurate. It's 6:12. Our own guy, Super Joe, is sick today, so Pete's in charge of everything. And Pete's got, you know, nothing but a mess in his family. He's got crime all over the place. I don't know. So I'm hoping he can focus to take care of the show, because it's busy.
And Dean Richards also called out. He's working, but he has to do a TV segment, so he canceled.
Again, the priority seems to be television, because that's the job that pays him most. I don't know how, you know, I don't get it. Doc Most will be on this morning. We'll talk to Doc. Not about Super Joe, but about other things. We have Hawks convention passes all week. I was at the disastrous Saturday night Hawks game that they lost 5-2 to Columbus. They've got Ottawa tonight. And I'm going to declare this a must-win. This is a must-win tonight.
I agree with you.
And the convention passes went on sale, and I can't believe there's any left. It's got to be obstructed view only. So we're giving them away all week because we have them. We got a great MVP today off that horrific Friday in Aurora. I'll tell you more about that coming up. Ryan Nobles from CNN later as the bizarre tale of Washington, D.C. gets
wow,
more bizarre.
What a weird weekend.
The Hawker riddle later, so we have Hawks tickets too. Who's in for Dean? You? Are you covering sports?
I am. Yeah, I'm all over it. And if you better bet, we're going to pour What's over it? The Orlando yeah. Bloom Katy Perry oh, ring controversy.
You know what we missed last week? We didn't talk about that. They canceled the Michael Jackson musical. Do you know that?
I did know that.
Surprising because Dean was so excited about it.
Yeah, we got excited. And then I know there was a lot going on last night or last weekend, to the end of last weekend. But yeah, I was like, oh, man, that happened. I saw that over the weekend.
Yeah. I didn't hear a lot of buzz about it, though, until you brought it up.
Yeah, I honestly saw it, and I was like, did we not talk? And I looked back, and I was like, it happened on Friday or Saturday.
Yeah,
buried it.
Yeah.
But
well,
yeah.
What happened? Why'd they cancel?
Because of the, again, there's a documentary coming out of Sundance about his pedophilia. And our alleged pedophilia. And,
even though he's dead, let's say alleged.
It's going to be aired on HBO coming up this spring. And at first the estate said, oh, we couldn't get together. And then they changed their story saying because of that controversy, they're scrapping the project.
I'm going to go back to an ancient premise. I think it came down to money. I think there was money involved that people weren't getting paid what they wanted to get paid. And there was a negotiation, he tried to say, that went not so good. And that's it.
I just don't know how much you could do a musical that didn't reference that stuff about Michael Jackson. Like, you'd be like, Billie Jean. And then they just flash forward to, it was a good life. And you'd be like, what happened?
Well, there was a piece.
A lot of time in there.
Remember that bizarre moment when he was acquitted and he was dancing on top of a car?
Yeah, exactly. That would not. I don't think that part was in the musical.
And here's something else we didn't talk about. Bill Cosby spoke from prison last week, said he has nothing to apologize for, and he's a political prisoner, much in the way of Nelson Mandela and Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Which, of course, couldn't be a greater insult to either one of them.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, you were saying?
Oh, no, I just was going to say that in my entertainment report, I'm not going to include what I now consider a news story that Jussie
Smollett.
Yeah.
Wow, what a story.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll get to all of that and other things that we haven't even gotten to or thought about yet. All of that coming up. We've got prizes to give away. 312-981-7200 is the number, and it's 6:16. We'll come back with the top six at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
You know, if this is Dan Shagru, Nick DiGilio, producer, leaving going away parties at 4 a.m., I'll come in early. I mean, don't you think we should have a going away party for him in the middle of the night? Because what happens normally is when there's I don't say goodbye to anybody because they have going away parties to take care of our drunken sales department, and they're usually at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
And I'm, you know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That's dinner time at the old folks' home for me, and I'm in bed by 5:45. So I don't say goodbye to anybody. So I feel bad about missing Dan. So I say let's get with Nick and Dan's schedule. Let's have a going away party for Dan, make him come back, and we'll do it at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
But he said goodbye this morning. I don't think he wants to come back.
Too bad.
He did, and we all gave him a standing ovation, and his wife Eileen was here.
No, not we all.
Well, us to get here.
And even Vic Vaughn got up, even though it's his day off.
He was on the phone.
The guy was really good and a really good producer. And
he was.
It's not like I could pick up the phone and call him.
You know what you could do, Steve?
Well, he's still around, you know.
I know.
Well, Super Joe came in.
I didn't even know he was tired.
Steve, you like doing lunches. You can go out
Let's be clear. I don't like doing lunches. Lunches are a way to facilitate life.
Yeah, so you got to eat anyway.
You can go do lunch with Dan. He lives on the way to Abigail.
Does he?
Yeah.
It's 6:22, and here's item number one. Yesterday, hundreds of people came together for a prayer vigil for victims and victims' families of the mass shooting at the Henry Pratt Company in Aurora on Friday. Four people killed. The shooter was also killed. Five officers wounded when a gunman opened fire on Friday afternoon after being told he was fired. The victims, Clayton Parks, Trevor Webner, or Wenner, I believe is the name, yeah. Russell Beyer, Vincent Juarez, and Josh Pinkard. A heartbreaking story in the Tribune yesterday online. It's still online. That the wife of one of the victims got a text that said, "I was shot at work. I love you," and he died.
Terrible. That story is getting mass play too. Not just here in Chicago, but it's being picked up nationally. The story about the text.
I went to the pizza place last night that shut down Friday. And I think about this: you're a small business, you're a pizza place, and you shut down on a Friday night. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, not only did they shut down and served as a staging area. Volunteered. The police didn't ask for it. They volunteered to serve as a staging area for the first responders and also a place where family members could gather and factory workers could gather where they were trying to get information. And that is Luigi's Pizza in Aurora. So I went there last night, just bought a pizza. Just bought a pizza, talked to a couple people, said hi. And I hope everybody supports him. Yeah. So listen for the most valuable person on the planet this morning, because it'll be tied into that fine group of people. Next is former acting director, FBI director, Andrew McCabe on 60 Minutes last night, started his book tour. Go ahead and put us on that list, Sabra.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about the president and the crazy days in the Justice Department after his boss at the time was fired. And, of course, we remember Donald Trump talking to Lester Holt and saying, I would have fired Comey anyway to get rid of the Russia thing. He recounts stories, McCabe does, of meetings where Rod Rosenstein directly talked about invoking the 25th Amendment and the potential of wearing a wire against Trump. Rosenstein said that didn't happen. The controversy and the back and forth will continue. In all likelihood, McCabe will probably testify again, this time before the House.
I heard McCabe this morning saying that the Rosenstein, he declined or he said that didn't happen. He's very specific in his wording. He said he didn't authorize it because it was just an idea that, this is what McCabe says, that it was Rosenstein who was going to wear the wire. And so the idea of, he said, I never authorized that. It's because it never got to a point where there was any ask for an authorization. So that they're starting to mince words about, you know, when they say, oh, that never happened. It's more about.
But again, that's the specifics of that job. There's, you know, it's unprecedented. I'm going to wear a wire to walk into the White House. And it is his take. McCabe's take is very specific. Rosenstein still works. There, and so he is not going to come out and say, oh, of course I was going to wear a wire. I still might. So you choose who you believe, but the president is giving you a lot of reason not to believe him.
Yeah.
Speaking of the president, item number three, President Trump tweeted out, he's very angry at Saturday Night Live. This is another one of these insane tweets about how Saturday Night Live is a hit job and how they should be shut down for the, I don't know how many time this has to be mentioned. It's a comedy show. It's not a news show. It's a comedy show. If you don't find it funny, you don't like it, turn it off and don't watch it.
Could you imagine? I was just thinking about this mid-70s when they did the great Gerald Ford impression where Chevy Chase's fell down, or even when Aykroyd did Jimmy Carter. If the president came out at that point and said, listen, this show needs to go away. How dare you? I mean, the idea of someone in power complaining about a
single
satire show is
president
ridiculous.
Has been lampooned
ridiculous.
By Saturday Night Live. From Ford to Carter to Reagan to Bush to Clinton to Bush to Obama to Trump. He's not special. He just provides more material.
Trump gives so much, you know, he really hates on NBC. But, you know, he had The Apprentice on NBC. I wonder if this is just all own stock in the company. Because the more you talk about SNL, the ratings go up.
Listen, you keep talking about strategy for a guy who has no strategy. the fact that you're trying to make him smarter than he is admirable.
I think there is no strategy. An inside trader job. I think that's what this is.
Next, the Sterigenics plant in Willowbrook was shut down Friday night. That's because the EPA and state agency said that the cancer-causing emissions were recently recorded at the highest levels to date. Item number five, law enforcement service. And by the way, the reason we're not quacking, squawking, or oinking in between any of these is because they're all very serious stories.
Yeah.
We don't feel a quack would be necessary between these, but we'll try to get your quack here in just a second. item number five, law enforcement sources are saying that actor Jussie Smollett may have staged this attack. This is new developments. He's scheduled to speak with investigators today. He still claims that the entire thing was an attack. Look, it seems very unlikely that he was attacked. But again, we don't need to get ahead of this. Mm. Let's see what develops today.
Wake me up when it's over. How about that?
I would agree with that. And finally this. Go ahead, quack me. And finally, a new study says that middle-aged men should be able to do 40 push-ups. 40 push-ups proves that you're not at a higher risk of heart disease and heart attacks. Again, that's 40 push-ups.
I see a video coming.
In a row? Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, no, over the course of your life.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I thought there'd be a pause.
Over the course of your life. A total of 40 push-ups from the time you're born to the time
you're born. Are these the one-arm push-ups or just regular push-ups?
I do the ones where you clap in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The percentage is overwhelming. The overwhelming majority of Americans cannot do 40 push-ups.
I would say that's absolutely true.
Yeah, that was.
And by the way, if your belly touches the floor, it doesn't count.
And you can't be on your knees either.
Well, you can.
All these rules.
It's hard to keep your elbows in. It's hard to do it.
Well, let's just say that if you can't do 40, you're dead by the weekend.
I can do 40 because I'm at the 40 mark right now. I'm on a push-up challenge, and I was doing them Saturday night. And Miles, my son, he said, "Dad, you got to put your
butt up in
your
the
butt's
air.
Too
yeah.
high."
I was going to say,
what he
you
said
are
to me.
Cheating push-ups.
My son, my 11-year-old son.
You're doing like a pyramid push-up?
No, it was fine. It was a fine push-up. It was a stressful push-up.
I think for this purpose, I think that if you could do the push-up, it's not necessarily just about form.
Right. That's what
I mean, I think if this is a measure of your cardiac health.
Well, that's Doc Most. Doc Most is doing push-ups right now before he comes on.
And we will film during the break, and I'll get this video up at some point.
I would like to do 40 push-ups for you right now. I'd do the 60 or 70. I do every couple of hours, but I have to be on microphone. Otherwise, I'd be happy to share.
Steve does 60, 70 per hour. Yeah. A couple hours.
You have 6, 8, and 10. Those are the three times.
The even hours.
Yeah. That's a Gary Player always said, the push-ups.
Yeah, I showed
him. Keeps him healthy.
Yeah. Bizarre Sports Weekend, too. Dave will have that coming up, and we'll get to the headlines next. That's your Top 6 at 6.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It is 6:32, and we're going to get to the headlines here, and then we'll come back. Justin was just doing push-ups. How many did he do?
32.
How many? 12?
32.
20? He got 32 done. And let me tell you, in Justin's defense, in the middle of it, Sandberg smacked him. Just slapped him right in the face just to see if he was paying attention.
And just remember, everybody, we do have a defibrillator in the hallway. It's about halfway down the hallway.
Okay, we're going to probably need that in the ready position. Dave, you're going to do your 40 coming up?
I will do my 40. I think Justin needs to try to get without Pete standing on his back. I think that made it tougher.
Well, that is a difference. There's no question.
Woke up after midnight. Both my arms and legs were sore.
It's the orchestral version of the Dr. Mustang.
On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before.
wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline.
All right, everybody, sing.
I got a edema on my thigh. Things up in my eye and I need you.
It's like Dr. Mostrance is now. It's kind of creepy, but it's always entertaining, Doc.
Yeah, it is. I enjoy it.
This is the big finish.
I missed it on the Grammys, though.
Call Dr. Most right now.
Yeah. Dr. Kevin Most brought to you by Northwestern Medicine.
That is
tremendous. And welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Well, we're doing fine, except Super Joe's sick. Super Joe, a fine producer, I don't believe he's ever missed a day of work. Ever.
Wow.
So, well, that's not what you want to hear from a doctor. Wow.
No,
good luck.
Wow. Sounded great.
Well, hopefully he's feeling better. He has a mom who's a nurse, so I'm sure he is being taken care of very well.
I don't know, but that's isn't that where you're supposed to separate yourself? Like, you can never have surgery on your own kid? You call in someone else?
I wish.
And if you recall, he was on record as criticizing her flu shot giving as a child because he felt she was a little rough on it.
Yeah, she may let him suffer for a bit.
Yeah, if I were her,
true.
I would.
What is it called where a doctor can't operate on his child? It's not a conflict of interest. What's the terminology for it? Is there a specific term for it? Or
no, I mean, we strongly would prefer that people don't, but we can't stop them from doing that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I know you tried to use that excuse on not taking my call several times.
Correct.
But, things happen. All right, so these anti-vaxxers are bad news. And if you are one of them, I highly encourage you to listen to Doc's words now. Because guess what? He went to medical school. You and I didn't. And the anti-vax thing that is spread around the country and around the world is not only dangerous, it could be deadly to your child or to other kids. And it's a direct correlation, direct tie to the measles outbreak. So first, the anti-vaxxers, what do you want to say?
Well, you know, at least listen to the medicine portion of it and stay away from the side where it says it causes autism, because there's been hundreds of studies that have proven that that's not true. And the study that supposedly made it true by Wakefield a while, you know, years ago in 1998 was false. And the guy lost his license. He's been reprimanded. People think that they should actually be criminal charges against him. But we're starting to see now the impact of when we are well vaccinated in this country and how protective we can be towards children. When we're not well vaccinated and the world is being as small as it is, bringing in these diseases that we could have eradicated and now are causing harm to kids again.
Yeah, there's a possibility of bringing back diseases that have been gone or largely gone forever.
Correct. And you, like you said, you talked about measles. So measles, in 2015, we had 188 cases in the United States. In 2016, we had 86 cases. In 2017, we had 120 cases. It's February 18th. We've already had 101 cases this year alone.
In the first 6 weeks of the year.
Correct.
And there's a pocket. Is it in Washington State?
There's Washington, Texas, and New York are where the three big pockets are right now.
And these are all areas where there is a, for lack of a better way of putting it, an anti-vaxxer community.
Correct. So these are all pockets of anti-vaxxer communities where they've had some international travel come in. And, you know, international travel comes in, someone with measles, and they come in the room with me here. I'm not concerned because I've been vaccinated. I'm protected from that. But when you get them in these pockets, it's so highly contagious that it can spread very quickly through these communities.
Doc, you know, a lot of this has to do with awareness and of course, this sort of, as we're just talking about, vaccinations and making sure that everybody's on the same page when it comes to the science of it. What's going to be the thing that brings people together? Is it going to be one of these things like measles coming back and having a widespread, well-documented attack on the globe to get everybody's attention?
Yeah, you know, when you look at the globe, there's still many countries where measles is quite it's normal, actually, because they don't have the ability to vaccinate their populations. Here, what's going to happen is you're going to have some documented deaths that are going to get somebody's attention, which is very sad. But we think of measles and people say, oh, who cares? You know, it's a couple of days with a fever and a couple of days with a rash. But we have to realize that this can cause seizures, cause pneumonia, and can cause death before the vaccine. 48,000 hospitalizations and 500 deaths a year for measles. Why would we not vaccinate? That makes absolutely no sense.
Doc, is the way to undo this is to vaccinate everyone that didn't get vaccinated early on?
Yep. That's the best way to do it. You know, you have the anti-vaxxers, and it's very interesting if you've seen recently a lot of the kids who are not vaccinated now are becoming of age, and at the age of 18, they're coming forward and saying, I want to be vaccinated. I don't care what my parents did. I'm smart enough. I've looked at the science. I want to be vaccinated. So that's really what we need, and we need to get away from a lot of these exemptions. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what are the exemptions?
Well, states allow some medical exemptions, excuse me, as well as some religious exemptions. The medical exemptions really are way out there because there are not a lot of things in here that are going to cause an allergic reaction. We took a lot of the preservatives out of these vaccinations. So, you know, someone that had a bad reaction to a vaccine, in other words, they got a high fever, we can treat the high fever. So that and then the religious exemptions are probably the biggest one.
The idea here is to make sure you're taken care of at all stages of life, but who should be considered to be at risk in this group? Are there people that maybe already sick that shouldn't have it, or what's the story?
Yeah, I mean, the people that are at risk are unfortunately these young kids who have not been vaccinated, and also, you know, the women who are pregnant. You know, women who are pregnant who get exposed to somebody with rubella, if they have not been vaccinated, birth defects, miscarriages. I mean, bad things happen here. We know it. So, you know, the big message is, hey, get vaccinated. It's not, there is no science that says it's bad. Go online and it's a bunch of bad information. But if you look at the science behind it, it has protected us. It has saved tens of thousands of lives, millions of kids with discomfort. And I can't tell you how important it is.
There are folks who, what you just said is key, because there are well-meaning folks who read something online, and they'll tell their friends, and their friends will tell more friends, and it spreads. It doesn't mean they're full-blown anti-vaxxers, but they start spreading bad information. Look, I say the same thing I say to you all the time. I don't fly the plane because I'm not the pilot. Well, I'm not a doctor. And people that went to medical school, like Dr. Most and our doctors, who actually read the studies, and the studies are verifiable by people in the medical community, why would you not believe them? You know, this is the great danger of all the great things the internet provides, Doc, including in medicine. This is a great danger that we think we know better. Well, then stop going to doctors then.
And you know, Justin brought up a point about what's going to have to happen, or Mary, what's going to have to happen in the world. You know, there's still parts of the world where, fortunately, unfortunately, we can do studies and look at things. And they study West Africa and Ghana. What they looked at is they looked at kids who were vaccinated, took out the measles portion of it, and still showed that these kids even had a lower mortality rate just because they were vaccinated. So this vaccination, not only is it going to protect you from the diseases that it's specific for, but it appears to have a halo effect on more infections so that your immune system is turned on and is greater when you're exposed to other things that could actually hurt you.
I want to switch gears on you when we come back from the break, but one last thing on this. You know, you're supposed to have the first shot when you're a little baby, and then you get a booster later on. What if you don't remember if you were vaccinated and maybe your parents aren't around to tell you?
Yeah. So you can have titers drawn so we can draw blood tests to do it. And then also some people will just say, hey, give me a booster just to make sure. But there are blood tests that we can check to make sure that you have coverage for it. So we do that all the time for varicella, for people in the medical field. We do it for rubella. So we can show that the body has made the immune response and it's still in your body.
You sure you can do that? Because if I find out on the internet, you can't. I'll tell people.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Hold the line, Doc, if you would. More coming up. Doc Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. A lot of texters asking questions, Doc.
Yep.
There have been improvements in the pertussis DPT. Can adults who didn't get complete DPT as a child due to a bad reaction get their pertussis portion now?
Yes.
All right.
Yep. And it's a very important one, especially for adults who are going to be around young children, because we can't vaccinate young children for it. And it can be extremely dangerous to expose the young child to pertussis. And we've had outbreaks, obviously, we know about those.
Based on your reaction to Super Joe being sick, where I believe you said, a texter says, I don't know if you guys have ever done this as a text question, but how about text question of the day, things you never want to hear your doctor say? Maybe something like, wow, never seen that before. Any news on the shingles vaccine shortage?
Yes, it hopefully will start to improve. There's quite a few places that have it right now, so if you call around, a lot of the Walgreens have it. Some doctor's offices have it, but it should be resolving. I think it's because of the great response of people that want to get it. Not that it's a big problem with the shortage. I think it's just a supply and demand.
708 said in the past you used to have to prove you were vaccinated before you were allowed to go to school. Is that no longer true?
Yeah, that's true. So you can come in to some schools, depending on what state you live in, without the vaccination. You just have to declare that. And then if there is a case with that illness anywhere in the area, you are told you have to stay home from school.
As adults, are booster shots for vaccinations on all vaccinations that we had as kids?
No, it's actually interesting. We didn't even think we needed a booster shot for pertussis until we had this outbreak in Iowa years ago, and we started to look at it and said we do need those. We know we need boosters for tetanus. We know we need boosters, obviously, for the flu vaccine because it changes every year. We're starting to find out which ones we need boosters for, but for the most part, it's going to be the ones that we've had outbreaks of. So we don't say we need a booster for measles, mumps, rubella. But you can have titers done to see if you do have good immunity.
What are titers? What does that mean?
That's a blood test. It'll tell us how much immunity you have. So it's a simple blood test.
Things you never want to hear your doctors say from the 6-3-0.
Simple blood test.
Yeah. Oops.
Oops. Yeah, that's a good one. Hey, Doc Most, how many push-ups can you do?
So you're talking about the 40 push-up, huh?
Yeah, 40 push-ups. So, and by the way, Pete Zimmerman nailed it. Dave Ennett nailed it.
Dave Ennett did more to show off.
Dave showed off.
Yeah. It's not a competition.
That doesn't surprise me, but that's great. You know, it's very interesting. I don't know if people saw it, but it was a study that came out of Harvard just last week that showed that people that can do 40, middle-aged men that can do 40 push-ups have a much lower risk of heart disease. And the biggest concern is if you can only do 10.
They have a much higher risk of being beaten up by guys who are also middle-aged who don't want to be shown up by guys right. who can do it.
Would you say you can do 10, Kevin?
No. I can do more than 10, I assure you. I guess I should get down and try it here. But those who do less than 10, those are the ones who were very concerned. So it's kind of a poor man's stress test, to be honest with you, as far as a prediction of future heart illness.
Well, we've got to
do a talk show every day. You want a stress test?
I've been videoing everybody doing push-ups this morning, and it's going to go up on our website in a little bit here. So,
I wish I was there.
847, I had the shingles last summer. Do I need to be vaccinated for it, or am I now immune?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, because some people say, well, you just had it, your body has fought it off, and I would say go ahead and get the vaccine, because if you just had shingles, you understand how painful and how uncomfortable it can be, so anything you can do to protect yourself from getting that again. People, just because they, quote-unquote, had it once, does not mean they won't get it again. The varicella virus lives in our body. It just comes out when we're immunocompromised or stressed, and that's when people get shingles.
We know somebody here, and I'm not sure if she's talked about it or not, but her husband has chronic shingles and may be dealing with it for the rest of his life.
Yeah, well, when people get chronic shingles, it's a couple things. One is that the shingles virus, it goes along a nerve pattern, so it inflames that nerve, so people can get that inflammation that stays there for a long time, and it's a neuralgia that's very, very, very uncomfortable. So the inflammation is there, the virus is still there, so whether it's called chronic or it's just called, you know, the neuralgia from the infection.
312, I can only do 5 push-ups, but I run over 3 miles 3 times a week.
Well, you know what? That's a very interesting thing, because this study was actually showing the importance of being able to do that from a strength point of view. So, you know, like I told you guys last week, you know, my brother could ride a bike 150 miles, and he had a heart attack at the age of 47. So You know, this is just another thing that they're saying. If you can do this, you're in that much better shape, and they showed that those individuals have a lower chance. So that's not saying that the bike riding is good and push-ups is better by any means. It's just of how strong is your heart and how much can your heart take.
224, my son never had the chicken pox. He's 32. Should he be vaccinated now?
Yes. If he has not been vaccinated for varicella, he should be. A lot of people don't think they had chicken pox when in fact they had a mild case of it. So if he is 32, did she say?
32.
Yeah, I mean, chances are he probably did have chickenpox, but it was just a mild case. But to be vaccinated would not be a bad idea because you're going to protect yourself as well as decrease your chance of shingles in the future.
All right, go do some push-ups and text us back how many you did. It'll be the honor system.
You got it.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next. So on Friday night, the Hawks are having a celebration of National Margarita Day. Let's go live to our boo sound on the show, Dave Bennett.
Now, see, why did you do that?
Well, I got to cut to the chase. We're always short on time. So, Dave, do you like a margarita? You a margarita guy?
Yeah, I'll have an occasional. I don't like sweet stuff.
So you don't want to...
It's like salt the margarita stuff.
Oh, just salt the rim and put some whiskey in it?
It's not whiskey, Steve.
No, I know. For you, I'm talking about... No.
Dave, you would love my husband's margarita because he makes it not sweet. We just basically go tequila, splash of...
Makes a man's margarita.
Yeah, Cointreau, a little lime. So because yeah, Pat likes better. The calorie conscious
margarita.
There's
a very funny video done by Jimmy Buffett in Hawks gear.
I saw that.
Up on the Hawks website, right. And they're running the commercial as well, where he just goes bananas and does... Really? I mean, Jimmy's a 70-year-old dude. He does a Patrick Kane post-goal celebration in helmet and sweater, which, I mean, is as good as it gets.
I love that it's shot, like, in the living room.
Yeah,
in
his house.
When he does the cellies behind a coffee table, it's just funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The outtakes, I understand, are even funnier, so I'm hoping to see those at some point. But the Hawks are hoping to see you Friday night, because it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, borrow a shirt from Steve Dahl and show up. It's margarita night. So what we'll do is we'll give away Hawks convention passes all week long. We're going to do booze trivia. I know it's just margarita trivia, but maybe we spread it out and do booze trivia. And Dave, you probably should be the single person on the show that could help the listener if they ask for help.
Why do you say stuff
well,
like that,
you're a booze
Steve?
Hound.
How long have we worked together?
Years. And, you know, first step to a cure is admitting you have a problem with me.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so here is the first tequila margarita question of the week.
And they are going to win a pair of passes to the 2019 Blackhawks Convention presented by Magellan Corporation on sale now. The 12th annual convention takes place at the Hilton Chicago this July 26th through the 28th. Highlights include player autograph and photo sessions, Q&A panels, exhibits, interactive games, and much more. Visit Blackhawks.com for more info.
Q&A is questions and answers.
That's right.
Just so we're clear. It's not Coach Q coming back.
So thanks to
and
Magellan.
Someone with an A.
And Arta Benissimo.
Right, exactly.
All right, let's get to this question.
The question is, first correct answer, by the way, 312-981-7200. Which country is the number one largest tequila market? Is this in the world?
Yes.
The number one largest tequila market in the world.
In the world.
Now, you would think, well, it's got to be the United States. Is it?
I don't know. Mexico probably a strong
country. Is it a country?
Yes.
Okay, so the answer is a country. Okay. Now, I also have a backup question if you fail. We'll get a winner, but if you fail and you're the first caller, I'll leave you on hold for a backup President's Day question. Today is President's Day. And as time allows, I will give you some President's Day questions as well. I say this every year. I always feel badly that George Washington started the country, President Lincoln saved the country, and they get combined into one holiday, and we just call it President's Day. They get lumped in with Warren G. Harding and Millard Fillmore, and come on. Shouldn't Washington and Lincoln have their own day? I know they're close together, but come on. What's a guy got to do?
Equal opportunity, man.
What do you mean?
Well, they all get one day, right? Lincoln has a birthday. He had his birthday on Thursday or Wednesday.
I bet.
But that's not a holiday.
I bet when we get
sort
our
of a holiday.
It's a holiday. Like, well, I it's told like you, the mayor's guys said it was a holiday for them, but they were still working. So I don't know.
Yeah. Pseudo holiday.
But once we get this next president, when she's female, I bet she gets her own day. That's what I'm banking on.
If I'm Washington, wherever Washington is now, I'm going, seriously, you people, you're not even, you don't even have a country. The queen is your boss if it wasn't for me.
I'll bet you he would say, I don't want a holiday. Because everything that you read about him, he was so selfless. I don't want to be your president.
I do like
I
your
don't want to be a holiday.
I do like your take on him.
I'm going to go cut down this cherry tree.
Kathy, where are you?
I'm out in Barrington, Illinois.
All right, Kathy. Yeah, Barrington. The question is, what is the country's number one largest tequila market? And you can ask Dave, who we believe is sober.
I think I can handle this.
All right, go ahead.
I think I got it.
Go ahead.
Mexico.
Is it Mexico?
It's not.
Oh!
But wait, what's your backup question?
Answer.
United States?
No. Hold on. I'm coming back to you, Kathy.
Oh,
hold
I'm
on.
Sorry. I thought you were giving her.
No, I'm coming back to her. Okay. We got to get an answer first.
A lot of people in the line. Okay.
Lynn is in the United States of America. Where are you, Lynn?
Lake Zurich, Illinois.
Yeah, that's in the United States.
I meant United States. Sorry. I thought you were asking me where I was.
Oh, yeah. No, I just want to make sure you were in this country. I don't know why. It just seemed important at the time. All right. So, Lynn, the question is, number one largest tequila market in the world. What is it?
United States.
That is correct.
Hey, there you go.
Wow, you just don't sound interested. And they ding, ding, ding.
I feel bad that Kathy did.
Kathy gets a chance to win as well.
But
first
that's
off,
still
what
very
did,
exciting.
What did Lynn win?
Lynn is winning the convention passes, which will be very exciting. So July 26th to the 28th. Thank you to Magellan for that.
All right, and stand by. Let me go back to Kathy now because it's always tough to be first. We got a Lou Malnati's pizza on hold for you, if, in fact, you can answer this question. It also is related to booze. Today is President's Day. President George Washington, amongst his many successful businesses, he was a very rich man. He was a liquor distributor. Can you tell me one of the three different types of booze, brands of booze, flavors of booze that he produced that made him rich? There's three different kinds here.
Whiskey?
Whiskey was it. There you go. You win. You get a pizza.
Wonderful.
Fantastic.
I love you.
Hold on.
I'm good. She's getting pizza. I know.
George Washington made rye whiskey, apple brandy, and peach brandy. Dave, you ever had peach brandy?
I don't know.
Probably were too blotto to realize what you're drinking.
He already said he doesn't like the sweet, so.
Yeah, I don't like sweet stuff, so I don't think
so. The rye whiskey's good in a Manhattan. We use the rye for that.
Good God, get off the sauce, woman.
I know, listen to you. A lot of drinking in our house.
727. Sometimes you need to be reminded how much good there is in everybody, and now that's the vast majority of people. Look, here's the deal. Pizza places don't close on Friday nights. I don't care how big you are. But if you're a local pizza joint, you certainly aren't going to do it either. But when the worst things happen, the best people always step up. And Bob Lockwood joins us on behalf of Luigi's, who shut down Friday night so they could be the place where first responders and factory workers from across the street would be able to come. And victims, families would be able to come and fed them for free and gave them a place to get out of the cold. And I just think it's an amazing story. And, Bob, welcome. You and your folks are the most valuable people on the planet.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having us, having me on the radio. I talked with the owners and I said, here's what's going on. And, let's feed these people, and we'll shut down to the public. And I agreed with them, and that's why I love working with our company, because we're so given-minded. Well,
it's funny you say that, too, because that's what I heard on Twitter. And we're talking about Luigi's in Aurora, and I went out last night and got a pizza and just talked to some of your folks there and some people there and took a picture outside. And people on Twitter hit me up all last night and today talking about, and a lot of locals talking about how this is not a surprise at all for us because the Luigi's folks have always stepped up. And I got to be honest with you, when I picked up the pizza, I tried to thank one of the kids behind the counter. And, the kids were like, I'm working. Thank you. they were just getting the job done. They didn't want to spend a whole lot of time with patting their back. And I think that's a testament to your employees.
Well, we have some of the greatest team members. And, it's really a privilege to work with them. And it's a privilege you know, I talk about servant leaderhood and leadership, and you know, I'm the manager. I was the manager that night, and it was just, it was a surreal experience. It was incredible. I hope I never have to experience that again, you know, because it's such tragic. But it was our privilege to serve these people, men and women that serve us. I'm very grateful for the team kind of stepping up as well.
How far are you guys from the location where this all took place?
That's a great question. We're about a block and a half away.
If that.
They're across the street. They're across the street. And when it initially happened, a fire truck rolled up and a couple police cars. And, you know, you think something's going on kind of across the street or whatever. And then more ambulances came. And then they gave us the order to say nobody in and out. And I'm like, well, we got deliveries. can we talk about that? You know, and they said, no, nobody in and out. Everything's locked up. I said, okay, I understand.
Well, you guys made the decision fairly quickly too, because here's the rest of the deal. If you're the local pizza place and party place, which is also what you do at Luigi's,
there had to be
birthday parties and other get-togethers scheduled Friday night. You had to cancel those too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, besides, I mean, my team. You know, the party, the people that canceled, we had to call them and say, hey, we have this situation, and we have to reschedule your party, and we're so sorry that we have to do that. And they were so gracious and understanding. There was even a surprise birthday party. They're like, right. Well, this was a surprise party. So we accommodated them as best as we could, because Friday, Saturday, and Sundays are our busiest 3 days.
Makes total sense.
And it's really, we're really lucky that we're in a position where, you know, it's not desired, but we were able to say, okay, we can feed everybody for free. It's fine.
By the way, do you want to identify those folks? I don't know if the owners want their names out there, but I mean, they should be congratulated for their goodwill.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's kind of a team of 65. So, oh, wow. I mean, how much time do you have? pizza makers, and then. Even to help reinforce, the owner's kids came in
who are the owners? Who owns the place?
It's Mr. Bill Poss.
Okay.
He's owned it for 38 years. He's the owner. His kids came in as well to help reinforce.
God bless all of you, man. It's a great story.
Hey, Bob, just, when you think about this story and a story that has, you know, has national news covering it and, of course, the Chicagoland area, what do you want people to know about the Aurora community, the around this area, and what they need and what you need at this particular time?
Well, what I want people to know about the Aurora community is it's really the story of New York, in a sense. If you look back 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, when it's a small community, but it's a big city, and there's artists, and it's coming together, and these setbacks, if you will, only make it stronger, because everybody gets together and say, okay, what can we change, what can we do? I wasn't in the store last night because I worked Friday night, Saturday,
sure.
And then I was at the prayer vigils, that kind of ending everything, not ending, but, you know, putting a
wrapping
nice
up the weekend.
Point
yeah.
On.
Yeah.
And, I just want people to know that the city of Aurora is thriving. It's open for business and the community is really amazing, because it's so diverse and so caring. I've run businesses in there for years and it's just a great experience.
There's a couple
cool things in it.
Couple of the Twitter responses I was talking about from Pauline. Salt of the earth, folks. They do exist. Thanks for applauding the good and the great. Patricia says, Luigi's does so many great things for the community. They're always willing to have fundraisers for schools and groups. This unselfish act is not surprising. It's in their DNA. It's who they are. Thanks for supporting them. And it goes on and on. So a lot of love out there for you guys for stepping up in the worst possible time and doing a good thing to take a little pressure off folks. So I hope everybody... even if you're not within reasonable driving distance of Luigi's, go out there, get a pizza, throw a party there, whatever, and support them.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the radio and talking and letting me share our story.
All right, Bob. Thank you. Bob Lockwood from Luigi's in Aurora, across the street from the Henry Pratt plant, where one of the stories that's out this morning is getting a lot of play, and understandably why, is the plant manager, a guy named Josh Pinkard, texted his wife as he was dying to say, I love you, I've been shot at work. And she put up just a heartbreaking Facebook post over the weekend that many of you have probably seen, talking about losing her husband. And then on the other side of the coin, there's a kid that was killed. He got an internship. Think about that if you've ever served as an intern, or think about how you felt if your kid got an internship, how excited they were on the first day. His first day as an intern at work, and a 21-year-old college student, and he was killed. So again, we remember, and if you're so inclined, say a prayer for Clayton Parks of Elgin, Trevor Winner of DeKalb, Russell Beyer of Yorkville, Vincente Juarez of Oswego, and Josh Pinkert of Oswego. And your most valuable people on the planet, again, the fun people across the street at Luigi's. And we continue next with your headlines on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, text question of the day is, it's actually it's twofold. Part one is separate from part two, so you can go with either or both. And it's things you never, ever, ever, ever want to hear your doctor say, like, oops. Or sorry.
We didn't get it all.
Yeah. I don't even know how you spell that, but. And then the other one is because the president sent out a caps tweet this weekend, as he often does, but this one was finishing the wall. I just felt like he was yelling at me. And, you know, I don't like to be yelled at. So I just would like you to send me a caps text about anything you're doing this morning. Brushing my teeth! Driving to work! Ryan Nobles joins me now from CNN. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Well, I just want to understand this. So you don't like to be yelled at, so you want all your listeners to yell at you via text.
Yeah, well, it's a celebration of the fact that I don't want people to yell at me.
Also, Ryan.
I see. All right.
Ryan, we all took the 40 push-up challenge, and the video is up at WGNradio.com, and it's linked on all of our socials, so people can find it.
And the idea is you have to do 40 push-ups, or you should do 40 push-ups, and
middle-aged men that can do 40 push-ups have a lower risk of heart disease.
Yeah, that's the deal.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
You'll be impressed.
Are you telling me that I need to do that and respond to that? Is that
Now, you're too young to be middle-aged, yeah. But everybody should be able to do 40, and frankly, I kick tail on everybody on the show. Yeah, I know we're all suppressed. Yeah. You'll be even more surprised when you see the video. All right, so let's jump in here. What would you say the number one story of today is?
Well, it's going to be the response to the president's decision to declare an emergency to deal with the border crisis. And, you know, he did it on a Friday afternoon, so a lot of people, I don't think, understand the full breadth of it. It was a long weekend for a lot of people. But I think what we're going to see today, in fact, I'm headed into Washington here in the next 20 minutes or so to cover a protest right out in front of the White House. And there are protests like this scheduled all across the country where, you know, and these are organized groups that oppose the president on a number of fronts, but they're going to make their voices known that they are unhappy with this. And, you know, we expect kind of the basic fallout from the president's opponents. But I think what is going to be really interesting to see play out here over the next week or so, and especially after Congress comes back from their week-long break, is how do Republicans respond to this? You know, there have been some level of opposition to this idea that you can just kind of arbitrarily use the declaration of an emergency to get funding for some pet project. And what could that mean if a Democratic administration took over?
One of the things is these buckets of money that he's pulling from. One of the buckets is to there's money that's spent to stop drugs coming into the country by the DEA. I want you to think about that for a second. He is taking money, if he gets the ability to do this finalized, away from the DEA to fight drugs coming into the country so he can pretend to build the wall. It's beyond insane. And Mitch McConnell rolled over so fast it was embarrassing. He was, I don't think we should do this. Oh, I'm fully behind the president. The Congress has completely given away its separate but equal powers if they allow this to go forward.
And I think you raise a great point there, too, because, you know, initially when he says, you know, I'm declaring an emergency, we're going to go find this money and build the wall, people are like, oh, well, that sounds good. But then you start to physically actually draw that money from different pots, and those pots all have interest groups that are connected to them that, you know, there's a chance it could come from something like military housing, or does it come from disaster relief pools of money that exist for people that are recovering from hurricanes? So I think you're going to see that become the next phase of this conversation, is where is the money actually coming from? And then, of course, there's going to be a lengthy court battle to try and figure out whether or not this is actually constitutionally legal, which the president is going to have to deal with. And it all comes back to this idea that, you know, nobody really knows what Donald Trump wants here. He keeps shifting his interpretation and his definition of exactly what he's looking for. You know, it's hard to give a guy what he wants if you're not even 100% sure what that want is.
Yeah. Ryan, I think what's happening to the sort of education of the American people when it comes to national emergencies, since 1976, every president has declared one, whether it goes from fighting drugs, as mentioned, obviously cleanup in different places. But there have been issues that have you know, a national emergency has been tied to. So for this one, obviously there's political stake at, you know, and obviously diverting or going around Congress's appropriation. But there does seem to be, when it comes to a legal challenge, a precedent set that national emergencies aren't necessarily for, quote unquote, the national emergency.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that, Justin. I do think there's been a lot of hand-wringing about the definition of what exactly an emergency is. And I do think that the Constitution gives the President of the United States pretty broad power to be the person that interprets what an emergency is. You know, that's part of what the United States did when they elected Donald Trump. They gave him that authority. And I think this tracks back, really, to Steve's initial point about the role of Congress in all of this. The way this system was set up was not for the president to just arbitrarily do whatever he wants, for Congress to roll over, and then for state attorneys general to sue the president in federal court with the goal of trying to stop something from happening. There's supposed to be a legitimate checks and balance between the executive and legislative branch that says, hey, you know, the Constitution explicitly lays out that we are the appropriators. We are the ones that decide how the money gets spent, and then you just spend it. And this is an area where the president's definitely flown in the face of that, and he's using this kind of narrow definition of an emergency to try and launch off of that. And there's a very good chance he wins this court case, or at least wins it in a way that he can claim victory. Ultimately, it's the responsibility of Congress to challenge the president on this and prevent something like this from happening. And there just doesn't appear to be the will, at least from Republicans, and even to a certain extent Democrats have not pushed hard enough, I think, if they legitimately think this is a problem. I think it's an issue that neither side wants to deal with anymore. They know he's not going to give up on this. They prefer to just, like, let him take this and move on so that they can deal with the other issues of the day.
Every day these outrages come up, and they're all legitimate as we push forward and wait for the Mueller report and see what happens. Look, I said it at the time, I stand by it. Obama overreached when he did the executive orders, especially related to Obamacare. You have to work through Congress, even if they're a bunch of dunderheads, which I believe is a word on President's Day that was last used by William Henry Harrison. But the fact of the matter is, Congress is supposed to be that checks and balances for the executive branch. And I don't care who's in the White House. You can't allow a president to run amok like this one is. You have to be able to stop it. And there's no guts in the Senate, particularly on the Republican side, to do it. Because, you know, Ryan, here's the truth. If Obama was wrong, then Trump is wrong. You can't have it both ways.
Right. No, that's 100% right. And I do think that there's definitely been a shift in the way that we govern, in that, you know, even go back to the Reagan years, you know, the folks in Congress had kind of a love for that institution. And even if there were Republicans and Democrats, they bandied together to kind of defend Congress as an institution. And now we more see elected leaders pledging fealty to their political parties than they are these institutions that they've been elected to. And so, you know, Mitch McConnell, who claims to have this love for the Senate as an institution, seems to be more concerned about the Republican Party. And because Donald Trump happens to be a Republican, he's, you know, in many ways just allowed him to run roughshod over the institution that he claims to love so much. So, you know, back in the days where, you know, Tip O'Neill and some other congressional leaders were not afraid to challenge President Reagan, he would find Republican counterparts to do that, because that was the role of Congress. This was the Congress's responsibility. And, you know, and you talk about Democrats kind of, you know, weak meat on this as well. You know, this goes back to Harry Reid and the way that they attempted to push through judges, you know, using the nuclear option. So, you know, this is not, it's not as if Republicans in this current incarnation are solely to blame for this. This is a kind of a shift in the way we have governed this country that's happened over a series of decades, and this ultimately has become what we're left with here. And you just continue to provide the president of the United States, the executive, and I don't care who it is, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, whoever comes after him, an inordinate amount of power that I don't think the framers had in mind when they initially drew up this plan.
One of the other things that came up this week, and we'll let you go on this, was the scuttling.
Yeah,
I'm trying to say as many old school presidential words as possible in this segment of the Amazon deal. And Amazon made a deal. They should have stuck to their deal. They should have dealt with the politics and all that, but they didn't. They pulled it. The thing that seems to be misunderstood here, and Cortez and all of the folks who shot this down are guilty of this, the $3 billion in tax breaks that were going to be given to Amazon, that's not real money. That's money that doesn't exist. So to say that's money that can now be used on other things is just factually wrong.
Yeah, and I believe it's the Washington Post had an interesting editorial about the way that this Amazon deal went down and comparing the difference between what happened in Virginia versus what happened in New York. And I've lived in both states, grew up in upstate New York. I live in Virginia now, covered the Virginia Capitol for 10 years. And Virginia's incentive package and what they offered Amazon was so much different than what New York offered. It was much more about Amazon delivering on certain things. Mm-hmm. And once they delivered, those incentives would kick in. And New York offered a much broader package of upfront incentives, which, you know, infuriated the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's of the world and people like that. And so, you know, and you're also comparing apples and oranges here because the business climate in Virginia is much different than it is in New York City to begin with, but it offered them a different way to provide these incentive packages. And so, you know, I think there was a funny joke on Saturday Night Live this weekend when they said this is 23,000 jobs, in other words, more jobs than there are in the entire country of Greece. You know, the idea that you can just kind of snicker and sneer at the idea that this massive company was going to bring in all these jobs and that wasn't going to have a positive economic impact, I think it doesn't seem all that smart.
I do think it is
a lesson for politicians moving forward in this. You know, I've covered many of these announcements of all these jobs coming to certain towns, particularly in some of the more economically depressed cities that I've lived in. They don't often come to fruition. I think they're, you know, the politicians have to be much smarter about how they incentivize these companies. It needs to be more on the back end than the front end. Get them in the door, but then make them deliver before they can take advantage of those incentives. And I think that's what you saw in New York. Different than Virginia, where, you know, Virginia's already passed their incentive package. That's going to happen. It's going to be about 10 miles from where I live right now, so we're excited about our home value. So,
you bring up a good point. Because that's the thing about the people, lived near where Amazon was supposed to go in New York. Their home values had doubled. Well, those are gone now.
Right.
The home values immediately go back down, and those 25,000 jobs are gone as well.
Yeah, and everybody's like mad at Jeff Bezos, and sure, you know, Jeff Bezos has more money than he'll ever be able to spend
It's not germane to the story.
Think about the small business owner that had planned to build a mom and pop deli right around the corner from where this was going to be, or the people that leveraged, you know, all this this land that they had in their families for years, expecting to have a monster payday, and now they're basically sitting on a pile of dirt that isn't worth anything. You know, there are much broader implications here than just Jeff Bezos' bottom line.
You enjoy the day, get to Washington, and take some Advil with you because you'll need it by 2 or 3 o'clock.
No doubt about that. All right, I'll do my 40 push-ups, too. Make sure that I pick up with you guys here.
Let us know what happened. That's Ryan Nobles from CNN. Ryan.
Hawk a riddle, yeah, come on. And get your Blackhawk tickets, yeah.
Hawks in Ottawa tonight, but these tickets are for what game?
Yeah, come on.
They're for the Blackhawks taking on Colorado Avalanche this Friday, February 22nd.
What's National Margarita Day? That's the Jimmy Buffett deal Friday night.
Courtesy of Four Seasons Heating and Air Conditioning and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingandcooling.com.
Correct.
Ro and Anna are giving away a pair at 440 today.
Well, I'll be listening. First correct answer to this riddle is a winner. What is the riddle?
The highest drafted player before Patrick Kane, his spin-o-rama was a move quite insane. He is third in points behind only Bobby and Stan, two stints with the Hawks, and a Hall of Fame man.
Okay. 312-981-7200. That's the number. All caps texts continue to come in honor of Donald Trump's all cap text temper tantrum. What are you doing this morning? I said, text me, but make sure it's in all caps. 847. Make it oatmeal! 219. Happy President's Day! See, Dave, you have to yell.
Got it.
Because they're in all caps. Mm-hmm,
sure.
608. Eating Lucky Charms! and one more. 815. Drinking my coffee with hazelnut!
And a ton saying, shoveling snow.
Right. And the weather's not good, kids. We'll get into that more with Steve coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom after this. Is allegedly tied up doing television. I say allegedly because as I look up the monitor, Channel 9 in studio, I don't see Dean. So we could be having one of those Hollywood fights I'm not aware I'm in. I don't know. We'll find out.
When I told him this morning that Super Joe would be out and he'd be sending, he should send his, you know, all things to Pete because Pete would be doing the technical part of the show, he goes, and I just found out I can't do the segment. So he didn't specifically say he was doing a...
Well, Gary Sinise is on today, and I think that he's talking up next, to Gary Sinise. So I'll bet you Gary Sinise.
There he is. Miss the, yeah, there Dean's is. On set now. He's talking to Gary there Sinise.
Okay, so the first story we should cover because it's more important is that Jackie Kennedy's sister, Lee Radziwill, she passed away on Friday.
Oh, really?
85.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Really?
I did not know.
Oh,
no, you just informed me.
I'm
something
sorry,
I was
I didn't
not aware.
Know that you. I thought you were being funny.
Listen,
yeah,
this, you're breaking. You're breaking stories. To,
I had no idea.
Your first moron entertainment here.
So she
you're
is
breaking
a,
it to Steve.
You're already breaking the rules here because Dean doesn't tell me anything I don't know. You just told me something I don't know.
Dean would have led with Bozo. I'm burying that one.
I
right
watched
now.
A little of that last night.
But how was it?
It was good.
Lee,
it was interesting.
Lee's a style icon.
Really.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't want to cut you off, Mary. But
on the obituary I'm doing over here?
Yeah, I want to get to that. The Bozo was, it was a lot of archival footage, and the footage was interesting.
It's been remastered. Isn't
yeah,
that what they said?
It looked fine, but the it's a kid's show. You forget that. And the scene I was watching was about a pie, and the pie wasn't big enough, and it was just this, it was just
there's
I'm
a
sure
lot of
slow.
Are you
slow.
Sure you weren't watching a cooking
yeah,
channel thing?
No, it was a good
a lot right. of the Bozo bits did it's surround around pie. Yeah, because cookie wasn't right. cookie a part yeah. of the pie stuff.
All right, next.
All right, back to the old bits. Sorry.
Okay, so
sorry.
Anyway, she's an incredible socialite, and she was 3 years younger than Jackie, I think, and she was more eccentric.
She was a party girl, man. She got out. She was always out. She was always, you know, I seem like, Dave, am I right about this? Because you're old. Wasn't Lee Radziwill hanging out with Liz Taylor a lot? I feel like I saw them in pictures.
Sounds right to me. I didn't pay a lot of attention to Lee Radziwill, okay. even though I was of that generation.
She's the coolest. And she, I think this tells us, she did a thing with Sofia Coppola where she asked her a lot of questions. And one of the things she first got in trouble with is when she was 7, she was bored at home while her parents were skiing. And she just was home at the estate with a nanny. And she
sounds like my story.
She took a cab to an orphanage and asked to adopt an orphan because she wanted to have a friend to play with.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
I know, but so that's a...
That's, you know what that is? That's sad with money. I don't have any friends. I'm going to take a cab to try to adopt an orphan.
Yeah, so she was not able to get an orphan, though.
I hope not.
So.
Yeah.
And then her mother was very embarrassed and angry with her when she got home.
So. Oh, the neighbors will talk!
Yeah.
How dare you!
Jackie was like in boarding school at the
Do you notice that Jackie Kennedy and Lee Radziwill's mother sounds like the Queen?
Yeah.
Did you ever notice
Janet,
I didn't notice.
Yeah, you're innocent.
But you're right. That clip we just played.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Remember her son died of cancer, too? And
yeah.
Like, right,
he was like a news anchor. 1990. He was really
yeah.
handsome.
Yeah, that was really sad.
Yeah. He
was
40.
Real good friends with John Kennedy Jr.
Yeah. He stood up in their cousins. Wedding like 2 years before he died.
Right.
All right, Adam, number three.
Oh, see, Mary and I really like this one.
Yeah, we like her.
Okay, number three is the salad-throwing Miranda Lambert. Announced she got married this, you know, sometime in this week.
Oh, so she was protecting her man by throwing a salad, but we didn't know they were on the verge of getting married.
Or they got married before the salad throwing. We don't know exactly when she got married. But he is a NYPD officer from Staten Island.
Oh, regular
Brendan McLaughlin.
Wow.
And he's a new dad. He has a 3-month-old.
Wait. Back up the truck.
So she's a stepmom.
So a 3-month-old?
3-month-old?
Mm-hmm.
So he got broken up while...
He might have done the Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady started dating Giselle after Bridget Moynihan was already pregnant.
Wow.
And if you're a cool stepmom, you roll with it.
That's very Staten Island of him.
It's awkward.
I know Staten Island pretty well.
He also has been known to do some modeling. He's a nice-looking gentleman. So
sounds like my story.
Happy nuptials to them.
On all fronts, sounds like my story.
How did they meet? How did the Staten Island police officer and Miranda Lambert meet?
I don't know.
Do we not know that, the story, the romance?
I don't know.
She did a concert in Staten. Let's just make this up.
Yeah.
She did a concert in Staten Island. He was part of the security detail.
Right.
He took her back to her room. She was having her own issues. They had some drinks. They fell in love. Now they get married.
Now, personally,
what do you think? Does that work?
That's pretty good.
I like this one. But, Mary, I like this one because I bet everyone thought Blake and Gwen were going to get married first.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I like Miranda. She like, oh, I'm going to get it before you. And she hashtagged
That's
it.
That's definitely
like,
the reason to get married. My ex might get married before me. I'll show him. I'll get married first.
Steve, I don't know if you know, Shawn Mendes is the new Calvin Klein model. So pictures of him.
Yeah, well, it's my story. I just gave up my title. It was, what am I? What kind of model am I?
you're a thirst trap?
You're the Tommy Johns.
Tommy John, that was it.
That's what Twitter went crazy last night saying,
thirst trap. Shawn Mendes put on his Twitter pictures of him in his underwear, and it was like trolling much.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to...
Well, I remember when Marky Mark, he was the model of my era with the Calvin Klein.
Shawn Mendes is interesting because he has fended off rumors of his sexuality. And people early on were like, oh, maybe he might be gay, he might not be. But now he's doing this whole thing with the Calvin Klein, and he's almost gone out of his way to be straight.
So wait a second, you're saying he can't be gay and be a Calvin Klein
model? No, that's not what I mean. I don't mean
that it used to be a prereq.
No, but what I'm saying is there are a couple things he's done in the last couple public things have been very straight on purpose. Like his management is trying to send the message that Shawn Mendes is straight.
Give him the Rock Hudson treatment.
Yeah.
The when he was on tour with Camila Cabello, he was French braiding her hair a lot. They always were posting pictures and videos.
Again, everything you've reported so far is my story.
Okay, including the
Calvin Klein photos?
Including the Calvin Klein thing. Yes, exactly right. And people thinking I'm gay. I mean, it's all there.
Now, we had an in-depth text conversation, the full show this weekend, over the big controversy that we started to discuss earlier on Friday, but we ran out of time and then Mary had to leave, so we couldn't get into it. Whether Katy Perry's engagement ring from Orlando Bloom looks like his engagement ring that he gave to his former wife, Miranda Kerr.
Oh, okay. See, that's the part I didn't understand.
No, I missed that part.
Miranda Kerr? And why
is
this on my
text? Well, that's what you asked who Miranda Kerr is.
And then I said unsubscribe.
Victoria's Secret model. She's an angel.
I don't know.
And you know what's funny about that is when I first started working with Pete Zimmerman 20 years ago, I brought up a Victoria's Secret model. It might have been Giselle. And he's like, who's Giselle? I'm like, who doesn't track the Victoria's Secret model?
Let me explain something to you.
I don't know. Pete?
Any man will act like they don't know the entire Victoria's Secret lineup when in fact they do.
Ridiculous. That is so not true.
What? What?
No, no.
What? Who's
don't
that?
Put us all in one
thing.
Oh,
there, wait.
I think that
Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. I've never seen that.
I refuse to subscribe to the idea that the notion that I need to know every underwear model's name. Like it doesn't matter. Like I have not seen a Victoria's Secret.
Did we not go over this in the interview? We went over this in the interview. I said memorize them all.
Memorize them all.
You missed out because Kendall Jenner was adorable this year. And Miranda Kerr walked. But anyway, so they both got rings that have a center stone surrounded by diamonds. And I think that women listening would look at these pictures and they say, those are very similar. There's not a million rings that look like a flower. Not every girl. Mary, how many people do you know that have a flower?
I have one on my finger right now.
Let me ask you a question.
No, it's not an engagement ring. It's a ring that I had made after my mother passed, and it's a flower.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't it cute?
Well, Orlando Bloom gave that to Mary Vandeveld.
Well, they were together a very short time. They went naked kayaking, and that was all they did. All right, so
it was fun.
So here's my question. My question is, have we reached a point of honesty, in quotes, where it's better for a woman to say precisely what she wants in a ring and for the guy to go get it? That's A. B, should a woman shop for the ring and point out exactly what she wants? Or C, should a woman be surprised?
No,
does it depend on the individual?
Yeah, I think so.
It depends, on the individual.
Some people want to pick their own out.
But there's no trend. There's no trend in one direction of those three choices.
I feel like you're really taking a shot in the dark if you're going to go surprise. I don't know. I feel like there was a lot of talk and a lot of this is the kind, at least the ballpark kind of ring that you like.
Yeah.
I think the idea, I'm going to walk into a jewelry store and say, I don't know what my wife likes, but let's try this one.
Dave?
That's a terrible idea.
Did you know what Karen wanted when you were getting engaged?
Oh, yeah.
See?
We had no money. That's why I told you guys. I got a diamond that's so small. The Hubble telescope couldn't tell it was a diamond. But it was a ring.
Oh,
it
yeah.
was a ring.
Mine's
and
tiny.
At the time it meant,
Mary,
you know,
did
time
you,
it meant
did
something.
You coach both Marys? Did you coach your significant others to the ring that you wanted?
No. Mine was a total surprise. I got a beer tap when we got engaged.
Ah, sweet.
Aww.
Every woman's
and then doing. I got a very tiny, tiny, tiny diamond. I still have it.
But
and
did you pick
I love
that
it.
Out, Mayor, after the beer tab?
After we got engaged, we did go together and
so
pick
you
it
did.
Out.
Yeah. Yes, there was discussion about what I'd be interested in wearing.
That's what we did. We went out and went to Jewelers Row down in the Loop and kind of picked something out. I went back and got it, and then I kept it in my dresser drawer until
That's
I was
good.
Ready.
I like Karen was ahead of her time. Now, Pete Zimmerman.
I think it's hard. It's hard for dudes. You guys make it really hard
Very
for
hard.
Us.
I went
Zimmerman.
To Duluth.
Duluth, that's so cute. Pete Zimmerman's wife's an artist, and she's very particular about what she does. And
right.
so I don't think she pretended you were a part of the decision, right?
Not really, even that. I had little or no influence.
Well, the cool thing is, if you allow the dude to order it on Amazon, now you can get it in a couple days.
I remember.
And come to the house even when he's
pulled
not
out
there.
We went shopping and looked around, but then she pulled out a magazine ad for the ring. She's like, this is the ring. I ripped that out. I took it to Trabert Hoffert on Oak Street where they got to buzz you in. And like a total dork, pulling out the actual folded up, crinkled in my pocket. I'm like, I want this. And that's this. Do not show me anything else. Like, I need to. Sorry I came in here with jeans on, but you have to buy me this.
All right. We're out of time. Oh. Got one more headline?
Yes.
Just a headline.
Victoria's Secret. Victoria Beckham's daughter, Harper, was twinning with Anna Wintour at her mom's fashion show.
Mm. Okay. All right. I don't know what that
by
means.
By twinning, it's the bangs and the bobbed hair.
Oh, like Dave and me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. and there's a video up of everybody trying to do 40 push-ups.
Yes, it's at WGNradio.com. It's also on the WGN Radio app, and it's on our Steve Cochran Show Facebook and Twitter.
And I'm sorry that I embarrassed the rest of you guys by kicking your butts. Check it out, people.
It was inevitable, yeah.
Another exciting edition of a brand-new game show that will only be played today. It's President's Day, the game show. Woo! That's coming up. Stand by for prizes on that. We have any prizes to give away?
Yes.
Not take them from Roe.
Okay.
The Jussie Smollett story, Steve Grzanich, are you doing this in the news or should I talk about it here?
Oh, he is standing by the window with, I can see.
Well, that he's lost his opportunity to speculate.
Possibly our new
what do you
engineer.
Got? Anything new?
Oh, here he is. He's coming. He's coming back.
What we have is a lot of rumors and a case that's yet to be concluded that a lot of the national media in particular is already wrapping up. And frankly, it's unfair to the investigation, not so much Smollett, because here's the deal. We all want the answer. We all want the answer immediately. I'm not just talking about Smollett, about anything. We all want it wrapped up. We all want it tidy. It looks like, and you know, a couple of really good sources on this have said this, there may even be a video of Smollett in the store with these two people who were suspects buying the rope. Remember when this first happened and I said...
At the Crafty Beaver in Ravenswood?
I don't even know.
Hear that at?
Doubtful.
Excuse me?
Where did you hear that at?
Crafty Beaver.
From the police department. Yeah. And again, I don't know that it's true. I haven't seen the video.
They are leaking like crazy.
But my point is this. Until we know, let's all take a deep breath.
Yeah.
It's a news story. Steve can report on it. But we don't know.
We had said in the top six at six, and this was a point at 6 o'clock, Steve, that Smollett's lawyers were talking about him meeting with investigators today, and then Ryan sent something out saying that they don't know if that's going to happen or not.
So well, they don't even know that it is happening.
Yeah, they're backed that off.
Everybody's
off
jumping.
That's what I mean. There's jumping. A lot of, this is going to happen, and this is not going to happen. This is going to happen, and this is not going to happen. And that's what happens when you deal with anonymous sourcing or law enforcement sourcing.
The two questions are, why would he stage it? If, in fact, he did stage it. And I said this from the beginning.
There could be any number of reasons why.
Well, yes, there could. But the question is why. And the other piece of it is the rope. Who's walking around with rope? You know, you'd have to go buy it, so there'd be surveillance video that maybe lends credence to the fact that this could exist. Did you guys get your President's Day shopping done? I have some last-minute President's Day gifts I found on Amazon, courtesy of Mental Floss. How about George Washington's teeth, the magnet?
Wow.
Use magnets much? I don't use magnets much.
Yeah.
Like a refrigerator magnet,
yeah.
I suppose?
Ooh, I'm not allowed to. No one's allowed magnets.
Magnets are out.
It's like nasty teeth on your refrigerator to hold up your kids' artwork.
Yeah. What's wrong with magnets?
They're out.
What do you mean you're out?
Well, you can't have a new cool fridge with a bunch of magnets on it.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Vanderbilt's got a bumper sticker on here.
I like my magnets holding my cute pictures up.
How about a John Adams mouse pad? Ooh. There's two things that are out of date. John Adams and mouse pads.
Yeah.
A founding father's gift box with old-fashioned tumblers bearing the likenesses of James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and John Adams himself.
Fancy.
It's $22. Mm. How about an Abraham Lincoln chia pet?
Okay.
Oh. Does it have a beard or just the head?
The hair grows.
Okay.
Yeah, the beard does not.
I got a Donald Trump chia pet for Christmas a couple years ago. It's still
Did you water it?
It's still in the box. Ain't going. I'm like, oh, thanks. Thanks for this.
Is it orange?
I don't even know. I was just like, well, I don't have time for it.
Who gave it to you?
I think my mom did.
Sweet.
It's like, hey, this is funny. It's election time. It's Christmas election time.
It's a gift from your mom.
I know.
How about an FDR collectible baseball?
Okay.
Exactly. The custom ball features a photograph of FDR throwing out the first pitch for the 1935 opening day game between the Washington Senators and Philadelphia Athletics. I don't think he was the first to throw out the first pitch, was he?
I don't know.
A Dewey Defeats Truman ceramic tile, mentioned mostly because it was a Chicago Tribune that got it wrong. A Lyndon B. Johnson bobblehead. Who doesn't want a presidential bobblehead? I mean, please, come on. These are all fabulous gifts available for President's Day. Don't be the last to shop.
What would be the gift for, I mean, I know today's President's Day, but for Mayor's Day, which is coming up on Tuesday.
Well, let's ask Ted. Ted McClellan is standing by from Chicago Magazine. The Chicago Magazine power rankings for mayor are out. Look at you starting bar fights. No, that's not true. I had Daly at 3. Is that what you're looking to do here?
I'm trying to start bar fights. I was going to answer your first question about... For Mayor's Day, if you go to Canine's on Devon, they have a Richard J. Daly clock behind the bar. His face on there on a giant wall clock.
Yeah.
So go in there and just take it down from behind the bar. That'll be your President's Day gift.
That's very right. And see if you can get to the car without being beaten.
Right, but you know you're talking about the power rankings. In the last one, I have another Daly at number one. So
there you go.
Why didn't Dick and Sis just name all their kids mayor? Because that's...
it would have been more direct, right?
Exactly. It would have been much more efficient.
Yeah, mayor first, mayor second, mayor third. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, so why don't we go in reverse order? Who's low on the list?
Oh, well, I mean, last on the list I have... I'm glad you asked that because I know somebody who's supporting this candidate, and I promise to name him on the air. Neil Salas Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the first time you've even heard his name pronounced correctly.
Yeah, well, that is true.
Neil Salas Griffin.
Yeah, I do say it.
Yeah, well, the Salas, yes. The Sun-Times did a poll, and they couldn't find anyone. I mean, they only called 660 people, but they couldn't find anyone who was going to vote for him. So
I got to say, they didn't
have his number. Apparently,
there's two people in this race who are really not great at promotion, self-promotion.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Mr. Salas Griffin would be the other one.
Yeah.
Wasn't he supposed
to
be on the show and he canceled?
He was. He said he was.
He doesn't
too busy.
Show up anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a strong commitment to the gig.
He was getting the endorsement of his plumber.
Now, to be fair, and you know, he's a terrible candidate, but he's an impressive dude. I've interviewed him for other things because he's big in the tech sector on the South Side. He's very smart, and you know, he's a very forward-thinking guy. And I'm just surprised that he didn't put a campaign together.
Yeah, I mean, Justin, you're a great radio host, but you know, would you be a great candidate for mayor?
No, I would not be.
Yeah, it's a different.
Yeah, it's a different. It's,
yeah, he doesn't show up at debates. He hasn't raised any money.
It's odd.
Who would you say the other guy who's not getting attention is? Kozler?
No, not good at publicity. I would say Jerry Joyce, who interestingly enough has raised a lot of money.
Yeah, well, most of it's from his wife, though.
Well, it's still money, you know, yeah, even though it's family money.
His wife's a pediatrician, so she gave him $873,000.
Wow. I was struck by the fact when he was here that he wasn't better prepared to present himself. Now, forget about the fact that his commercials, at least his first commercial, was mostly what a fine football player he was. And that's fine. Right. I don't know what it has to do with running the city, but that's a fine tribute.
He went to Marist, right?
Right. Yeah, and I get it. Nice guy, and he may be well qualified. He just doesn't present his message very well.
Well, but he presents it in the best Chicago accent in the whole field. So
that's true.
You got to give him credit for that.
Fioretti at 12.
What's that?
Fioretti at 12.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like his whole existence is about getting revenge for having his seat redrawn. I mean, it's funny because when I was writing it, I was sitting there trying to think, what am I going to write about Bob Fioretti? And then I got this, as I was thinking that, I got this robocall from Bob Fioretti telling me to vote against my alderman. Not for anybody, but just against my alderman.
Yeah, not great.
Because, he's just part of the corrupt machine. And he's been doing this in several wards.
Yeah.
So he's just running this really nihilistic
campaign. Ted,
you've been
doing this since October. The latest shows the up, down, and the arrow, the up arrow and the down.
Right, yeah.
Who has risen the highest? Who has jumped the most spots in your power ranking?
I would say Daly, because, when he first started running, I kind of didn't take his, he didn't seem like he was campaigning anywhere. He wasn't meeting anybody. He wasn't getting out there. I thought, okay, he's just like the Jeb Bush of this campaign. You have an off the record conversation with somebody, you can say you had an off the record conversation with somebody who you can't say what he's talking about. He called me into his office to talk to me off the record for 45 minutes. And the first thing he said, where am I in your rankings? Then six, number three. So I guess it worked, because now he's number one. I can say he's far more articulate than his brother.
He's a smooth one of the family.
Yeah, he's smarter and more articulate and better looking. Now,
he
probably would have made a better mayor in the first place.
Well, here's the thing: he didn't show up for the Fox debate, and he bailed with 45 minutes to go before it. So that was
right.
And Willie Wilson, you got a great exchange in here, which I love. This is from the Fox 32 debate, where they were asked by Mike Flannery, name your favorite book other than the Bible. Tony Preckwinkle said American Pharoah. Mendoza said Team of Rivals. Chico said Master of the Senate. Vela said The Guns of August. What did Willie say?
My own, because it's not corrupt. Willie Wilson's campaign is all about Willie Wilson. It's completely funded by Willie Wilson, and it's all about publicizing Willie Wilson. And I'm not, but I'm starting to fear the most embarrassing runoff would be Daly versus Wilson. And Wilson's getting a lot of support from Republicans. Trump only got 12% of the vote in Chicago, but that could be
enough.
Big thing. He got Danny Davis's endorsement the other day.
Wow.
If he can combine his black support with Republican support, he could go somewhere.
Okay, so let's talk about who has dropped the most in your power ranking since you started in October.
Mendoza wasn't in the first one, but she was in the second one. She was at number two, and now I got her at number four. So, when she first got in the race, everyone thought, oh, it's going to be Preckwinkle and Mendoza. But, those two have been beating each other up so much. I think they're damaging each other. Vallis has dropped a lot. I at one point had Vallis at number one because he's such a great debater, but he's not raising any money. I mean, he seems to think raising money is beneath him.
It doesn't quite work that way, does it?
No, and he wants to tell everybody how principled he is for not raising money, but you need money to tell people you're not raising money.
That's exactly
catch 22.
That's exactly right. Amara Enya has fallen off. Is that because of the Trib story?
That and Lightfoot seems to be kind of the candidate in that lane now. The African American woman progressive. She seems to be. Enya's had some. It wasn't just the Trib story. She's She's gone through three press secretaries. One of them is suing her for not paying her. And I mean, my impression of her from the very beginning, and then Eric Zorn said something pretty similar, was that she could do what Patricia Van Pelt did, is use this to get into some lower office, and, you know, like state senate or alderman. I think she needs a little more experience before she can say, I'm ready to be mayor.
And the other one we haven't really talked about is Preckwinkle, who couldn't be more awkward in this campaign. But that's kind of, frankly, that's kind of who the Cook County Board President is.
She put out this weekend, showed a young Tony Preckwinkle starting out her career. I have not seen a lot of those images, so it's interesting to see those come out.
She's not a person you ever imagined being young, is she? But she started
out at 60 and went from there.
Yeah, she's one of the more, you know, serious, unsentimental people I've ever met in my life. But I guess that's a good quality for a politician. I remember having a discussion about music once with her, and she said for her it kind of stops at Duke Ellington. So.
All right. It's a good place to stop, I guess.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Think that now, Ted, as we wrap up here, you know, with a week to go, are you going to see a lot of jockeying? Can people hopscotch in the power rankings in the last week?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's always, you know, I think if we do it again, I might put Preckwinkle at number one. I think there's kind of a daily backlash developing here. You know, people realizing we could have a third Mayor Daley. And, you know, he's gotten $2 million now from Ken Griffin. You know, at a certain point, you have enough money to get your message out. And when you take too much money from someone like Ken Griffin, it starts to look bad. So,
mentioned Jeb Bush. I really think there's a motivation there for Daley. And I don't think he's walking around thinking about Jeb Bush all day. But you don't want to be the Daley that didn't get the job. You don't want to be the guy, that, you know, Jeb Bush. You don't want to be the guy at Thanksgiving that didn't get to be president.
But it's also the same thing. You know, Jeb would probably have been a better president than George. And Bill would probably have been but they were just born in the wrong order. It's these dynastic families.
So it seems like Daley and Preckwinkle as of today.
Yeah, that's, you know, David Axelrod said the same thing. I think that's the, if you had to make odds, I'd put those two in the runoff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Preckwinkle's at 14%. So anything can happen next Tuesday.
The margin of error they were talking about, you know,
is 4%.
4% is nine candidates at this point.
What's the runoff percentage? The runoff?
They have to get 50 to not have a runoff.
Otherwise, the next
one has to get 50. Yeah, right. And otherwise, it'll be the top two finishers, which, you know, I'm certain we're gonna see a runoff.
Exciting, Ted.
Read it where?
Yeah. Read it at Chicago Magazine, chicagomag.com.
There you go.
Thanks for that, we will catch up with you again soon. ChicagoMagazine.com. How about Ronnie Woo? Ronnie Woo was a last minute write-in.
There you go.
Oh, you're going right in. So
Mayor. Woo!
We don't have enough candidates. You're going to start writing in. Right.
Just think we need some, you know, something else.
There's no Cochrane Joyce on the 14.
As of now, I still can't vote, though I do park in the city. Play the President's Day game for prizes after 9. That's coming up. I'll give you a quick example. Can anyone tell me what president liked the skinny dip?
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan is not correct. Which president liked the skinny dip in the Potomac every morning? Dave?
Oh, in the Potomac? No. Yeah. I was going to say JFK, but no, I don't think he was jumping into the Potomac.
In the Potomac.
I'll say Taft.
No, Taft got stuck in his bathtub.
That's what Taft was famous for. Right. Dodson, right?
John Quincy Adams. John Quincy Adams had one side man, bag man, whatever the case may be, would come down and hold his clothes while he jumped in the Potomac River and skinny dipped.
It was before pollution.
Before security cameras.
Yeah.
Way before security cameras. Hi to CLTV. We're back with the news in a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with the Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
I have a rule, by the way, I'm applying to the Blackhawks. Talked about it with management over the weekend. Yeah. You know, when they shoot out the T-shirts and they're attached to the little umbrellas that float down gently to the crowd, and then people punch each other
parachutes
out to get the T-shirts?
They're parachutes, not little umbrellas.
Yeah, parachutes, like I would have said. Well, you could use them. You could Yeah. You take the parachute home and use it as an umbrella.
It's like little Mary Poppins' t-shirts, like holding on.
But I occasionally see people in the suites who reach out and grab those.
Mm-hmm.
If you're lucky enough to be in a suite, you don't get a free shirt.
I feel the same way about that.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could grab them.
So I have a new rule. Yeah. If you're in the suite and you get a shirt by accident or you grab one, you have to buy a shirt for everyone in the section below you. Every single one.
You can't just whip it
down.
Take it off the parachute and whip it down there?
I have a nearest cutest kid rule. Like the nearest cutest kid gets your shirt.
Yeah.
But I see people grab those shirts. You're in a suite, for crying out loud.
Or how about you give them your dessert?
And the dessert car comes by? Yeah. Oh, that's crazy talk, Dave.
Sorry.
Sheldon Brookbank is standing by from your Chicago Blackhawks, courtesy of MB Financial Bank. Good morning to you.
Morning. How are you guys doing?
You like my idea? Sheldon, you like my idea?
Yeah, not bad. I think it could work.
Oh, not bad. He's going to workshop.
Which is a nice way of saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Move on.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, Ottawa tonight. I call this a must win. I know you guys can't approach it that way, but we're right on the borderline here of the season continuing to be thrilling as it has been for the past month. We're going in the other direction. So that's the deal. You got to win tonight.
Yes, I think we don't really have the luxury to kind of waste games anymore. So we need these ones pretty bad tonight, that's for sure.
Sheldon, you look at the last three games, you've gotten down by two goals in the first period in each one. You're able to come back and win one of those against New Jersey the other night, but how important is it to kind of turn around the way you're starting these games?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think our second periods have been great. Now if we can just piece together the first period a little better, you know, and maybe not necessarily come out on top, but maybe just even, I think we'll have a better chance moving forward here.
Have you noticed a different feel with the guys since you turned this around?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, winning kind of solves everything, but it seems like guys are really focused now, and they're taking their games to a new level, and they're really engaged, they're having fun, and it's just it's a good atmosphere in there, and you can tell the players are enjoying themselves.
This is going to shock you. I've never been currently on an NHL team, past, present, or future. So I don't know what practice feels like. But usually we know a team gets on a win streak in any sport. Practice becomes more fun because fun's not a word you can always assign to practice. Is there more fun, maybe a little more goofing around going on?
Yeah. You know, when you're losing, you kind of have to come in there and everyone's a little bit on edge. And you got to, you know, battle drills and all the boring stuff that nobody likes to do. When you're winning, you don't have to worry so much about fixing everything. It's more of just keeping the good feelings going. So, you know, right now they're definitely enjoying themselves, and it makes it a lot easier to come to the rink and get on the ice.
How's Corey Crawford looked in practice? I know it's not your department, but certainly you have an opinion.
Yeah, I think he's coming along. You know, it's hard. He's been off for, maybe a couple months now. And, you know, he's just trying to get his legs back, and we're getting him lots of shots. So I think once he, you know, gets feeling a little bit better there, then we'll see where we're at with him.
Sheldon, when you're dealing with a season that's been like this, where you've had losing streaks and winning streaks, and you get down to the end where you really have, I mean, you're looking at this, you're chasing scoreboards, you're really looking at having to get as much points as possible, as fast as possible. Does that change the way that you motivate the players? I mean, does every game take on different meaning when you're chasing?
It doesn't really necessarily change your approach. I think you just know that every game in this league is big, and you have to approach it the same way. I mean, that's how I do it. I just worry about the one game at a time, worry about just in the moment, and then, you know, everything else will kind of take care of itself if you do that the right way. So, you know, you can definitely feel the games are a little bigger, you know, this time of year. That's just the way it works with sports in general. But, you know, I'd like to think guys approach it the same way, game one or game 70.
It's a big week for the Hawks. Friday night, of course, it's National Margarita Day, and Friday night will be Margaritaville night with, Jimmy Buffett feel all over, so that'll be a lot of fun. And I encourage you to go to the Chicago Blackhawks website and see Jimmy Buffett lose his mind in a Blackhawks sweater and a helmet doing his best Patrick Kane impression after he scores a goal.
I'm going to suggest that they go with, instead of Chelsea Dagger, every time we score, Cheeseburger in Paradise, because a puck kind of looks like a cheeseburger.
Friday night would be good for that.
Yeah, so
yeah, that'd be a good idea.
I'm suggesting
that. And then here's an important deal. The Chicago Blackhawks are partnering with DKMS, an international nonprofit organization dedicated to fight against blood cancer and blood disorders. They've helped register more than 8.6 million potential donors and have provided 74,000 plus patients with second chances of life. If you come to Sunday's game and you walk by section 120, you can learn more there. You can have your cheek swab. You might be able to save a life just by joining the donor pool. And this has a personal connection to you, Sheldon.
Yeah, definitely. My my good friend Jamie Fico is fighting with lymphoblastic leukemia right now, and he needs a donor. So, you know, and I know there's lots of people out there that need a donor. So we're trying to get a blood drive going here and see if we can get some more matches, because it's not easy to find a match for a stem cell transplant. So, you know, my good friend needs it. I know there's a lot of people out there who need some help. So we're just trying to give some people some hope and, you know, help out, and hopefully we can find a few more matches here.
Again, join the donor pool. You go to dkms.org/hockeygiveshope. That's all one word, hockey gives with an S, hockey gives hope. Or go to the DKMS table at section 120. So really, you just need to get your cheek swabbed. It's that easy?
Mm-hmm. It's that easy. Yeah, you go there, you go. They'll have the table set up. They'll you know, do a little swab, then they'll put it back in their kit, and they'll send it out and see if you match with anyone like that. So it's a lot easier than it used to be, from what I understand. So, you know, stop by section 120 at our game on Sunday the 24th, and let's get this going.
And Fico's on the clock, man. He needs your help now.
He is. Yeah, we need it. We need to get this going as fast as possible. And like I said, you know, it's easy. And I know there's a lot of other people out there. Yeah, you could help, you know, save someone's life.
I had a friend go through this where he did a random donor volunteer situation, matched up with somebody never met, 1,000 miles away, saved the individual's life.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. You never know. You know, this one hits hits home for me, but I know that there's a lot of people out there too. So, you know, I think it's a good cause, and you never know when you could be in a situation like this. So, you know, get the cheek swabbed, and let's just see if it works out here.
And you can also donate money. I will put that link in Sheldon's interview when we post that a little later.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
So you can just write a check if you want.
Yep.
Excellent. Dave?
Sheldon, not to bring up another tough story, but I think it's well known that you began your career, you played for the Humboldt Broncos, you're from that area. I think we're coming up on the 1 year anniversary of the bus crash. How are people doing back there?
Yeah, it's hard. You know, it's just a tough situation. There's really no way to prepare for that situation. And, you know, people are strong out there, but it's been a long year, and you know, they're trying to move forward with everything up there the best they can, but it's never going to be the same. So, you know, it was a tough day in Humboldt, and, you know, everyone kind of banded together to get through it, but it's definitely not easy.
I'm sure.
All right, well, listen, let's have some fun tonight. Let's get a win. Let's get a lot of people out there Sunday to donate and at least see if they're matches and get registered. And let's get some money raised as well. That's all we're talking about here.
Let's get a win and a match. That'd be a great day for me, I tell you what.
How about it? Right?
Yeah.
The MB Financial Bank question for you comes from a listener and fan, Brenda Lung. And Brenda says, as a player or a coach, what's your pregame meal?
Well, it's different as a player. You needed some pasta or some quinoa or some carbs in there. As a coach, you're trying to keep it a little bit lighter because you're not burning all those calories. So usually surrounded with chicken breast and, you know, if you really want to treat yourself, a little warm chocolate chip cookie at the end of it.
How far before a game would you eat? Like, you know, if you got a typical night game, what time are you eating?
Yeah, as a player, you're going to eat. I would usually eat at, say, it's a 7:30 game. You'd eat around noon, have a big meal around lunchtime there, and then later on before the game, maybe 3 hours before, you have a light little snack just so you're not feeling too hungry. But, you know, I personally like to feel a little hungry when I played.
Makes you angrier.
Yeah, you're kind of a little bit of hungry hockey player, you know, and you feel a little lighter. You always want to feel light out there so you feel like you can fly around. So I'm not sure if everyone else is like that, but that's how I kind of like to feel.
And as a coach, you can pretty much go Renaissance Festival right up the puck drop, walking around with a drumstick and, you know,
yeah,
a pint of grog.
Yeah, sometimes as a coach, you even just forget to eat because you're not really as focused on it. You have your lunch, and then you're like, oh, wait a second, I didn't eat anything here. Better get something. So
there you go.
So not as big of a focus.
Brenda's going to get a hockey puck autographed by a Blackhawk player, courtesy of MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
DKMS.org/hockeygiveshope, or if you're coming to the game Sunday, come by Section 120, get your cheeks swabbed. You never know, you could save a life. And also, as Sandberg just said, we will link all that to the podcast of this phone call with Sheldon, and you'll have that information. You can go to the website, make a donation as well. Sheldon Brookbank, thanks, man. We'll watch you guys tonight.
All right, thanks for having me.
More importantly, we'll listen to them on your hockey station, your 720 WGN, with John Weideman and Troy Murray. When I said watch them, I meant we'd watch the radio.
Of course. Yeah. And by the way, I believe the second guest on the program, maybe the first ever, advocate and recommend quinoa. So he's my guy.
I didn't hear it.
You blocked that out. You heard chocolate chip cookie?
I heard chocolate chip cookie loud. I heard chicken. I heard chocolate chip cookie. I didn't hear quinoa.
Well, that's because you're still tired from the 40 push-ups.
Yeah. Check out that video. We got to get better bumps. What is this? Where'd you find this?
Sounds
Pete,
good,
speak
man.
Up for yourself.
Sounds like a Van Halen riff.
Pete Zimmerman filling in for Super Joe today.
This is going to be one of his
better
songs.
Bumps. These are great bumps today.
Psychedelic First President Gas.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then it's just fine, Pete. I couldn't be more approved. Approved.
He's theming the day.
Mm-hmm.
You better watch it, Steve. Pete takes, as I was showing you, his wall of CDs at his house. Mm-hmm. Music is very important to him.
Yeah, well, guess what? I just sent a list of bumps to Joe, and if they're not done by tomorrow, whether he's sick or not, then we'll have to have a meeting.
Okay. Really, that 15-second instrumental really
really fired me up. Yeah, really fired me up.
What was it, the presidential furs?
The presidential furs?
Is that what he called it?
No, it was a psychedelic furs.
Oh.
Psychedelic
furs. President's themed song.
Okay.
All right, so here's the deal. It's time to play the president's game. 312-981-7200 is the number. What prizes will they be fighting for?
They are going to get an Apt gift card.
Is that it? I mean, that's a good thing.
I'll wait and see how many winners we have.
Okay, 312.
Possibly a Lou Malnati's pizza if...
All you have to do is believe that you are someone who knows your presidents. Mm-hmm. Know your presidents. Hey, that's a better name for the game.
Oh.
Hey, Pete, change the name to Know Your Presidents. I like that better.
You know who knows a ton about presidents? Like
Steve Cochran.
Crazy amount of weird, useless facts about the presidents? Rod Blagojevich.
Well, because he thought he was going to be one day, and now he's had time to memorize it.
I remember one time we did an interview with him when he was running for governor, and that we asked, I think the question was, what's one thing voters don't know? He's like, I have an insane amount of knowledge about all the presidents, and he went through all the presidents and gave a little fact on each one.
All the presidents and Elvis. Remember he thought he was Elvis?
Right.
Yeah.
So there you go.
312-91-7200. We've got some people that are getting lined up right now. Let me give you a presidential fact you may not know that Rod Blagojevich might know.
He would know, yeah.
Franklin Pierce, guy that people don't remember. Mm-hmm. Pierce was pretty unpopular while he was in office. His own party refused to renominate him for a second term. After being thrown out, he said, and I quote, "Well, I guess there's nothing left to do but get drunk."
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
How often does that happen in presidential history? Where they nominate him for the second time.
Not a lot. There's that guy I'm thinking of now that's actually in the White House who he would think would be a candidate. His penchant for the hooch also explains a problem he had. Franklin Pierce was once arrested for running over an old lady with his horse, which was the equivalent in his time of the limo running down someone.
Right. Drunk horsing.
Yeah. He got out of that deal, by the way. All right, so let's go to these players right now. Dave's driving to Indy. Why are you going to Indy, Dave?
I have to go pick up a mattress.
All right, we have mattresses in
it's
Chicago.
It's President's Day. That's what you do. You buy mattresses.
Exactly.
Yeah, because here's the deal. Lincoln took a bullet. Washington started the country, and they have to share a holiday, mostly known for mattress sales. Hmm. Doesn't seem right to me. Dave, how about you?
I would agree with you completely. It should be, you know, full bed sales, not just mattresses.
Exactly, right. All right, so Dave, here are your categories. Either presidential behavior, presidential families and extended families, or a presidential who knew, which is kind of a miscellaneous category. Which would you like to have?
Let's do who knew.
Who knew? Which president was known for his love of bowling?
Grover Cleveland.
Grover Cleveland. is incorrect. The actual correct answer is Richard Nixon. But I feel like that was a tough one to start with.
That was a good pull, though. It was so confident. Dave,
I'm pretty impressed.
Dave gave a very confident answer.
The categories are family, behavior, or who knew? Pick again.
Okay, let's try family.
Family. Which president had the most children?
It should be multiple choice.
You got to come to the writers' meetings.
trying to figure out which one would have had the most downtime to, produce those children.
I think I'm hearing something here. Were you going to say John Tyler?
He was in my top three for sure, and I was just narrowing them down.
John Tyler.
So I will say John Tyler.
John Tyler had 15 children, more than any other president.
Smokes.
Two of his great great grandchildren are still alive today. One named Lion Tyler, John Tyler, not Taylor. John Tyler, born in 1924, and Harrison Tyler in 1928, both, I believe, are still alive. What about that?
He did have two wives, though.
Good genes.
Yes. He was also expelled from his own party during his presidency. And this, I want to read from his obituary, if I could. This is his actual obit in the New York Times. He was a poor, miserable, despised imbecile. The most unpopular public man that had ever held office in the United States. That was his obit.
Wow.
This is making
They could read that again today.
You said it, and I agree. All right, hold on, Dave, if you would, please. Let's go to Eric on the northwest side. Eric, the categories are behavior, family, or who knew?
Let's go with behavior.
Behavior.
Hey, Steve, do I have to scream my answers like all caps?
Yes, that would be a good idea. Now, you can go in a regular voice if you like. Which two presidents died on the same day? Two presidents died on the same day. Do you know who those are?
Isn't it Jefferson and... I can't think of the second one.
You're so close. Died on the same day. So they'd be about the same age. Died on the same day. Jefferson and?
Isn't it Adams?
Yeah,
Adams and
bingo.
Oh, my
nice
gosh.
Work. How about that? Jefferson and Adams both died on July 4th.
July 4th.
And they were vicious rivals.
How do you know that?
He's a genius.
No, that's really impressive.
I give you a bonus fact about those two. Before they hated each other, they took a trip to William Shakespeare's home in Stratford-upon-Avon. That was 1786. And they chipped off a piece from Shakespeare's chair as a souvenir. They were presidential vandals. Hey, dude, you won. You got an app gift card. Hold on.
I'm really impressed with that.
I am.
That was good.
Let's go to one more. It's Lorraine
did you know that,
Burbank.
Dave?
Lorraine.
Wait,
sorta.
Did Dave?
Hi.
Dave knew.
Hi, I'm here.
Well, Dave's going to say he knew because the answer's already out there. All right, the categories, behavior, family, or who knew?
I'm going to say behavior.
So I think what you meant was who knew. Let me go to who knew. That's the category that you wanted. I'm pretty sure that's the one that you decided to go with. Your question in who knew is which president was known to be a huge fan of James Bond. I'm going to help you out here a little bit. And even consulted the author of Bond, Ian Fleming, on how he might kill Fidel Castro. Think about the timing.
Let me think about this.
Killing Castro.
He thought about it.
Time frame. You can do this.
I'm thinking.
Tax on
You're putting Castro. A lot of pressure on her, Steve.
How about, I don't know, John Kennedy.
Well, hey, bingo, there you go.
Got it.
Great call.
John Kennedy. It would have been so much easier if I said which president did some early whoring around.
I don't know if it would be.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. We have to go back and do the check-in.
Yeah.
But congratulations. You got an APT gift card as well.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. What else do we need to say about APT?
Pleasing people.
Since 1936?
Yeah.
I got to say,
how smart you guys
are. APT.com.
Which president played the most golf?
Eisenhower.
Eisenhower played 800 rounds of golf in 8 years.
Wow.
Oh, I was going to go Obama.
I
would have said all of them.
100 rounds a year. We test him 100 rounds. That's a lot.
Which president
especially
did
when
not
you're running the country.
Golf.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Which president worked as a male model?
Oh, my.
By the way, not while he was in office.
I know this because you already told me.
Who was
I want to say it out loud, though.
Who was it?
I want to say
Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
Gerald Ford.
Yeah. Gerald Ford.
Oh. What?
Gerald
Reagan,
Ford was
You showed me a picture of Reagan in his underwear.
Gerald Ford was a model
he was
in his
an
art
actor.
Class. Oh, and in art class, that's
okay,
all.
Okay, that doesn't count.
And that wasn't, by the way, that wasn't underwear. That was old school shorts.
Oh, I thought it was underwear. Yeah. I thought it was just Tommy John's.
Which president was a cheerleader in high school?
Bush.
That's exactly
number
right.
Number 43.
W.
Wow.
Which president is in the Wrestling Hall of Fame?
Oh.
Wrestling Hall
of Fame. Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Dave, this is your area.
Having competed in approximately 300 matches and only lost one time.
Hmm.
The greatest wrestler of all time, let alone.
Is that Ford?
Abraham Lincoln. Wow. Abraham Lincoln was a wrestler.
How is that not part of his story? We know everything.
It is part
about
of his story.
Lincoln.
Yeah. No, I hear it.
But we all know about, you know,
now that I think about it, it was.
Yeah. Which president appears on the $100,000 bill? And if your follow-up question is, there's a $100,000 bill, you wouldn't be the first one. Yes. The $100,000 bill existed until wire transfers. It's very hard to find, but they still have a couple.
Steve, which president is in the stair-climbing Hall of Fame?
But that'll be in the next break when we'll
that's a tease.
Break that down. Yeah, Woodrow Wilson would have been your answer. Woodrow Wilson.
Gosh, I know none of these.
I went to either. Woodrow Wilson High School, and I didn't know.
Cheerleading.
Look at you. Which president was afraid of electricity? You think Benjamin Franklin, electricity? No. Benjamin Harrison, first president to have electricity in the White House.
Benjamin Franklin.
He wasn't a president.
Wasn't president.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to tie it all together. Thanks.
Was he? What do you mean he was afraid of electricity?
He was so scared of electricity after it was installed in the White House, he would never allow anyone to touch the lights or turn them on and continued to burn candles.
How is this happening?
Which president used to, this guy was referred to as the oddest president. Here's why. Amongst his behaviors was each morning at breakfast, he'd have one of the servants rub Vaseline on his head while he ate breakfast.
Oh.
And he had two raccoons in the White House named Reuben and Rebecca, who he would sometimes let run around the White House.
I'm going to say Trump.
Calvin Coolidge.
Calvin Coolidge.
Two raccoons. Seemed like
Calvin Coolidge. Which president married his teacher? You got to think swinger. Sexy. Sexy swinger.
Sexy swinger.
Now, is that Taft?
Millard Fillmore.
No, Fillmore.
Oh, that's Millard your guy. That's, you got the musical after Millard.
Yeah, Van DeCoss and I are shopping the musical
Steve
Fillmore.
Did I hear Steve Dale say that the current president is the first president without a dog?
Yeah, I heard that.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Certainly the first president without a raccoon.
Without a
raccoon. I think that's cool. And finally, which president married his cousin?
Rudy Giuliani's not a...
Rudy Giuliani is not on the list.
But he did the same.
Nor is Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
Married his cousin. Anyone? Anyone?
I'll go with
one of the Adams.
Yeah, let's go with who has Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson's incorrect.
Oh.
No other guesses?
No.
FDR. Sure. Oh. Eleanor Roosevelt was already a Roosevelt and was FDR's third cousin.
Creepy.
Blowing my mind today, Steve. Yeah. This is stuff
maybe
I didn't know.
Maybe one of them was adopted and so it didn't count.
Hey, whoa, easy on the adopted.
I'm just saying.
It is time now for Dave Ennett to heavily hype a very cool event coming up that I think you're a co-captain of, right? Is that the deal?
He and Mary are co-captains, though Mary keeps saying that she's not a co-captain, that it's only Dave.
No, Maureen McDonald from our office.
Maureen is really our captain.
I mean,
she's
the,
our leader. She's the organizer.
Yeah, she's the reason this all happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think Patty also is somehow involved.
Patty Vasquez?
Yes.
Okay.
Again, join WGN Radio, WGN TV in the American Lung Association Fight for Air Climb presented by United Healthcare. It's coming up in less than 3 weeks, Sunday, March 10th at Presidential Towers in Chicago's West Loop. And you can climb 1, 2, 3, or all 4 towers, which is what most of us are going to do. 2,340 steps, if you count, unless you go two steps at a time, which I think is kind of cheating. You're really only climbing 2 towers if you do that.
And I don't recommend it. You get more tired quicker. Yeah.
And you said it's shameful when you try to stop at 2 towers. People give you a hard time, don't they? It's embarrassing.
You get shamed. You get shamed. You'd you don't. If you can do 1 tower, anything you do is welcome.
Was that Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Shame.
They're in brown robes and they point at you when you try to get out.
Shame. When you're on the elevator. Anyway, you can sign up. Go to WGNradio.com.
And you can donate
events.
There, even if you can't be there.
You can donate. You can pledge to help our team. at fightforairclimb.org.
I'm having some trouble at home, by the way. Remember when Ross and Maureen both agreed to or wanted to do this, and they're mm-hmm. in? And I said I'd give $1,000 to the cause, and I'd split it up. Maureen got 501, and Ross gets 499.
Mm-hmm. That seems fair.
Forgotten. I split it up 500-500.
Oh.
Yeah, I think I screwed up.
That is a screw up.
So I got to remind me later. I'm going to re-log on and put another dollar in.
Okay. Toward Maureen.
Good idea.
Or more.
And then do Dave and I get the 500 too?
No. Appreciate you asking.
Man. Though. Yeah. We're part of your other family.
You are. And I gave y'all $100 a piece last year.
That's right.
But then family showed up and it got expensive.
Listen, we're glad.
My sister and her husband are joining in.
Oh, wow.
The lovely Leslie and Ian Martin are going to be
climbing
there as well.
Or they're donators?
No, they're going to climb. Yeah.
You're like the only one in your family not doing it.
I'm climbing the outside of the towers.
Are you going to at least drive them down and cheer them on?
I want to see if Dean wants me to come on the show. I'll be down to heckle you.
There are some people who run for political office, and then there's some that are principal investors. Steve is a principal investor.
Exactly.
You're the Ken Griffin of your family.
I'm the rainmaker.
Yeah.
That's it. Of course, in this case, it's more of a drizzle. All right, Dave, what else do we need to know?
That's it. Go to WGNradio.com/events. Again, it's Sunday, March 10th, which is, 3 weeks from yesterday. And we'll climb in the morning and hope to see you there. It's a great event. This is, I think, Mary, 4 or 5 years we've been doing this? And
I think more, actually.
Yeah, it's really a fun event. It's the biggest stair climb in Chicago, and we look forward to seeing everybody there.
And we all go out afterwards and have a Bloody Mary.
And everybody did push-ups this morning. And Dave did, 46, 47?
I think 45.
45.
I don't want to get sweaty.
Yeah. 40 was, we were supposed to do 40.
This is for middle-aged men.
Oh, wait, we were supposed to do 42, Mary?
Yeah.
Girls?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing was for men. So we don't really have a study about women. But middle-aged men that can do 40 push-ups have a way lower risk of heart disease. Yeah, so we were seeing where
we
are.
Free and clear. They can eat fried chicken every day.
Yeah. But there is a video up of this?
The video is up at WGNradio.com and the Steve Cochran Show Facebook and Twitter. And then so Pete Zimmerman did 40. Dave Ennett did 45. Mary, you did 35, I think.
Yes, so, yeah.
It was 35. And she complained during it, which was great. That's classic Mary.
Mm-hmm. It's hard work.
I did two sets because I did the tricep push-ups first on accident. I only got 15 of those out, but then I did 30 of the regular push-ups. So, I don't know. Justin
32.
Justin held his breath. He stopped breathing.
You didn't mention someone.
You.
Steve Cochran.
She's waiting till the end. Yeah.
Now, I log 40 push-ups if you repeat the video 40 times.
Yes.
But I did one really solidly, the ADD kicked in.
Yeah.
I did one. I got bored. I said, I got to go back and do the show. It's the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve is next on 720 WGN. Hi to Bill and Wendy. Also, I want to thank our engineering department, who I had on a special project this morning, which I believe they're about to finish.
My favorite is the engineering department is now Bob and Bob.
So yeah, it's many like Bobs.
A new heart episode.
I just think we call everybody Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Everybody in engineering is now Bob.
Hi, Bob.
What about Bob?
So you don't want to know what the special project was?
What? What's the special project, Steve?
What is it, Steve, in all caps?
What if she has her what if she has her radio on? You don't want her to hear this.
Abigail, please listen to the mix for a second.
I hate the mix.
Good kid. The special project was I have this toy that, you know, I buy Abigail a lot of stuff. And I have this toy called the Magic Pad, as seen on TV, the Magic Pad. And we're hanging out because it's Monday afternoon. And I wanted to be able to do this art thing with her. Because, you know, people think of me, they think art.
Artiste.
Paint. Artiste, yeah. And I stripped the screw on the battery compartment. So I figured our genius engineers could put the batteries in for this.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Turns out they couldn't.
Uh-oh.
So I said, take a hammer to it, man. Open that battery compartment. Do what you got to do. So apparently they fixed it, and it's ready to go.
Oh, right.
So point being, yes, they're great at radio engineers. They're great engineers.
Bob and Bob.
But if you have a toy that you need to have repaired, please drop it.
They'll do it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was the service.
They're the Bobs.
The Bobs.
The Bobs will do anything.
The Bobs will do
it. Bill has some toys.
I do have some. I'll bring them in.
Not all of them.
Bring them all in.
Imagine how long that would take.
I like that.
What are you guys doing?
All things president.
We're celebrating President's
Everything.
Day.
Do you hear my fabulous facts?
No. Can you throw one at us? Toss a fact our way.
Which one?
Who was the cheerleader? Who was the cheerleader? The
president was a cheerleader.
Gerald Ford was a cheerleader.
Bush.
Oh.
Bush W.
Was he?
Wendy got it.
Oh.
Who was the oddest president?
Oddest in what respect?
Put Vaseline on his head.
Vaseline rubbed on his head while he was eating breakfast.
Oh.
Eisenhower.
No, Eisenhower played 800 rounds of golf.
I'm going to go Polk.
Close.
Calvin Coolidge.
Calvin Coolidge did
Calvin Coolidge had two pet raccoons that he let wander around the White House. Huh?
Silent Cal?
Who married their cousin?
Everyone in Tennessee?
That's just mean.
Well, but he's not wrong.
his cousin. Who married the cousin?
That was FDR.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
FDR and Jerry Lee Lewis. Jerry Lee Lewis, our 14th president. That's how old he is. Goodness, I'm going to need a napkin for the water I just spilled.
Oh, great.
We need an engineer in here. Stat.
They're working on toys. They don't have time for that.
Why are they wearing elf costumes? There's no reason for that.
See you tomorrow.